And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, 63 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. We look forward to be mostly sunny here today with a high of 84. A conservation official says a recreational trail between Council Bluffs and Neola could be ready by 2017. Mark Shoemaker, executive director of Pottawatomie County's Conservation Board, says design work will begin this year and construction will start next year for the trail between Council Bluffs and Weston. The Council Bluffs Nonpareil reports that work will expand to Underwood in 2016 and Neola in 2017, which is a stretch of about 16 miles. A $1.1 million grant from the Iowa West Foundation was recently announced for the design and construction of the 10-foot-wide concrete trail that would be parallel to a county road. It will require a match that county officials are already trying to fill. The Iowa Supreme Court has potentially given the Argosy Riverboat Casino in Sioux City more time to stay open. The High Court on Friday granted an emergency stay of a district court order requiring the casino to close July 22nd. Groups in support of the closure have until Monday to file a resistance. The Sioux City Journal reports the stay will be in effect while the state Supreme Court considers whether to hear Argosy's appeal of the district court's order to close. It's unclear how much more time the stay gives the casino. Karen Bailey, a spokeswoman for Argosy parent Penn National Gaming Company, says she's pleased. In April, the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission ordered the Riverboat Casino to close because it doesn't meet state gaming license requirements. It's been 25 years since the passengers on United Flight 232 braced themselves for impact and prepared to die. Back in 1989, the jetliner, carrying nearly 300 people from Denver to Chicago, lost all hydraulic power after the rear engine exploded. It crash-landed in Sioux City, Iowa, cartwheeling down the runway in flames and breaking apart in a cornfield. Through the efforts of the flight crew and emergency teams on the ground, 184 of the 296 passengers on board the DC-10 survived. The flight is considered one of the most remarkable life-saving efforts in aviation history. This weekend, survivors and others connected to the crash are gathering to remember the dead and the heroics of the accident at the Mid-America Museum of Aviation and Transportation in Sioux City. A judge has barred a Las Vegas company from calling Iowa residents and claiming to sell a human growth hormone product that kills cancer cells. Polk County District Court Judge Michael D. Huppert issued an injunction Thursday against AmeriCare Incorporated, its owner, and two telemarketers. The company does business as AmeriCare Health. Attorney General Tom Miller says the state's Consumer Protection Division recorded a phone call showing telemarketers making misleading claims about an oral spray's effect on cancer and other serious conditions. The company sells the spray for $249 per bottle. The injunction requires that defendants refrain from collecting any payments for past sales from Iowa residents. They must also provide refunds to Iowa customers who request them. A state audit has recommended procedural changes for the Hawkeye Express, a train that takes Iowa football fans to Kinnick Stadium. The audit, which was released on Friday, came on the heels of the university's firing of an athletics department accountant in November. An audit performed by the university last year reported that revenue from ticket sales in 2011 unexpectedly dropped by an estimated $66,000. That's despite an increase in ridership for the Hawkeye Express, which allows fans to park and ride roughly 4 miles to the stadium. State Auditor Mary Moseman found just over $74,000 in undeposited collections, stretching across 3 games. The state report recommends that school officials strengthen internal controls, reconcile ticket sales with deposits, and improve cash handling procedures. A divided Iowa Supreme Court says juvenile offenders must be resentenced if they were convicted in the state as adults and awarded mandatory minimum sentences. State officials say the ruling means more than 100 people face resentencing for crimes that include robbery, murder, kidnapping, and sexual abuse. In deciding the appeal of Andre Jerome Lyle Jr. on Friday, the court said required minimum sentences for juveniles are unconstitutional because they amount to cruel and unusual punishment. Lyle was 17 years old in 2010 when he was convicted of robbery and sentenced to up to 10 years in prison. 3 justices disagreed with the Iowa ruling. It follows a U.S. Supreme Court decision last year that all no-parole juvenile lifers must be considered for parole. The Iowa Supreme Court is ordering Iowa State University to pay $650,000 to a former employee who was the subject of vicious mistreatment by superiors. The court Friday upheld a jury's $500,000 award to former College of Engineering marketing employee Dennis Smith for emotional distress. The court also reinstated a $150,000 award for reputational harm Smith suffered after blowing the whistle on financial misconduct by his boss, Pamela Reinick. Smith says that ruling allows him to seek reimbursement for $400,000 in attorney's fees. Justices say Reining engaged in unremitting psychological warfare against Smith to hide her theft, falsely claiming that he was a security threat. The court rejected the $634,000 in damage the jurors had awarded for lost pay, finding that a 2010 reorganization in which Smith's job was eliminated wasn't retaliatory. The Iowa Supreme Court has rejected a class action lawsuit claiming the Iowa executive branch has systematically discriminated against black job applicants. Current and former black applicants had argued that state agencies for decades had favored whites in interview and hiring decisions. The case was based on statistics that suggest blacks receive fewer interviews and jobs than whites at some agencies, and social science research contending that Americans subtly favor whites over blacks. District Judge Robert Blink dismissed the case 2 years ago, finding the plaintiffs didn't prove their allegations. All seven justices agreed yesterday that Blink's decision should stand. Justice Brent Appel says the plaintiffs failed to challenge specific employment practices as discriminatory. He says they failed to prove that the state's record-keeping was so incomplete to analyze for bias. Murder charges were filed in Illinois against the former boyfriend of an Iowa woman whose body was found in a Minnesota field 3 months after she disappeared. The Quad City Times reports Timothy J. McVeigh of Rock Island is accused in the death of 29-year-old Carrie Olson. She was reported missing after failing to show up at her Davenport job on December 30th. McVeigh was arrested Friday at his job in Silvis, Illinois, after a joint investigation by police in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota. He's being held in lieu of $1.5 million bond in the Rock Island County Jail. Olson's body was found April 5th in Dakota County, Minnesota, southeast of Minneapolis. McVeigh's first court appearance is scheduled for today. A man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for meeting a girl at a Davenport library for a sex act. U.S. District Judge Stephanie Rose issued the sentence Thursday for 26-year-old Jesse Dwayne Moore on charges of coercion and enticement of a minor. He was also ordered to register as a sex offender. Authorities say Moore communicated with the girl through a website in December of 2012 and arranged via text messaging to meet her at the Davenport Public Library. Moore later admitted to posing as a teenage boy to contact a minor he knew was 13 years old. He's accused of meeting the girl at the library and having sexual contact with her. Records show that he tried to schedule another meeting. And taking a look at world headlines this hour here on KJAN, a spokesman for the Gaza Health Ministry says a new round of airstrikes has raised the death toll from Israel's 12-day offensive to 325 Palestinians, many of them civilians. In Israel, police say a rocket fired from Gaza killed a 30-year-old man near the southern city of Dimona and injured four others. There are accusations today that pro-Russia separatists in eastern Ukraine are tampering with the Malaysia Airlines crash site, and also that Moscow may be helping. Kiev says militiamen have destroyed evidence and removed 38 bodies with the assistance of specialists with distinct Russian accents. The plane was shot down over eastern Ukraine, killing 298 people. The West is blaming the rebels. The Carlton Complex fire has blackened more than 268 miles of Washington state and continues to grow. The blaze has thus far destroyed 100 homes in the city of Bateros, and is now forcing the residents of two more communities to leave their homes. The Okanagan County Sheriff says basically the whole town of Mallet is being evacuated, and those living in the outlying areas of Brewster are being advised to leave as well. The state-by-state hiring data is adding to the debate about raising the minimum wage. The data shows that the 13 U.S. states that had raised their minimum wage at the beginning of this year are adding jobs at a faster pace than those who did not. Many business groups say raising the minimum wage hurts job growth. A Congressional Budget Office report earlier this year lent some support for that view. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Thelma Boyson, age 93, of Lamars and formerly of Shelby, died Monday in Lamars. Funeral services for Thelma Boyson will be today at 10 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Carol Kramer, age 75, of Orient, died Tuesday at the Clearview Home in Clearfield. Funeral services for Carol Kramer will be today at 10:30 at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Timothy Robert Stein, age 42, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Timothy Stein will be held today at 11 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Mildred Marchant, age 82 of Panora, died Tuesday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Mildred Marchant will be today at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Nedra Horn, age 75 of Pleasantville and formerly of Victor, has died. Funeral services for Nedra Horn will be today at 11 o'clock at the Mason Funeral Home in Pleasantville. Donald Coron, age 90 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Memorial services for Donald Coron will be today at 2 o'clock at the Heritage House. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the local arrangements. Richard Wooster, age 93 of rural Manning, died Tuesday at Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Richard Wooster will be today at 2 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Emily Evans, age 26 of St. Charles and formerly of Fontenelle, died Thursday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. Funeral services for Emily Evans will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Calvary Baptist Church in St. Charles. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Nancy Lynn Radford, age 56 of Griswold, died Wednesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Nancy Radford will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Griswold Community Building. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Joanne Carlisle Park, age 66 of Gering, Nebraska, died Thursday. Funeral services for Joanne Park will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Atlantic Church of the Nazarene. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And James A. Friedrichson, age 88 of Audubon, died Thursday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for James Friedrichson will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.